The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
And we do thank you for being here today. We hope you're having a great day. And we're studying about the thread of redemption through the Bible. And I was talking to Alex yesterday after the program, and we've both decided we're really enjoying this. And the reason that we're doing it is because of someone that's going to take Alex's place today. Alex is on a jet plane. And so Jim Stanley is here with us today. And Jim, again, I said it earlier and I'll say it again. Thank you for suggesting this as we go through the Bible, redemption. Now, today's going to be real interesting.
Right.
We're in the book of Judges. And so it's going to be interesting to see the thread of redemption through the book of Judges.
Well, it is. And Judges, by some, is considered a very hard book. And it's not meant to be, you know, any harder than the rest of the scripture. But it's one of those that we understand a little bit about what justice is about and what it means in that. And so I think it'll be a very positive book. However, I do want to correct and I don't correct you often.
What did I say?
So I do want to correct just this one little thing. I'm not replacing Alex today.
You don't want the apologetic questions?
No, I am filling in for Alex today. And I would say the same if it were me and Alex, and he said I were replacing you for the day. I would say I was filling in.
Hey, Jim, I enjoy doing this program with you, and it's a joy to you and I've talked a good bit off of, you know, the air when we fellowship one with another, and it's good to have a brother that you just talk about the Lord Jesus and the Word of God, and it just be something that you learn. And I appreciate that, and I have from you. And I say that. Okay, enough of that.
All right.
Let's look at the book of Judges a little bit. And again, the thread of redemption. We're talking about going through the Bible, all 66 books, and it's like a preacher said, if you turn every page, you'll find Jesus. Now, it doesn't necessarily have a direct, but it's an inference or a shadow, a type of Christ. And that's what you find in the book of Judges. You find redemption there. You find deliverance there. And we're going to talk about that. But let me give you a little bit of history about the book of Judges. It follows the book of Joshua. It is in chronological order. This is where it comes and where it fits. Now, when you go through this part, this is all the way through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Mm-hmm. It is in chronological order. Now, when you get over to the poetry of the Psalms, and then you start with the prophets, it's not necessarily in chronological order there. In the prophets, basically, a lot of it's according to size, a lot of it, they call it the major prophets and minor prophets. But Judges does follow Joshua. And it covers a period of around 350 years, okay? 350 years in this, and it's a period of what we call cycles. Now, a cycle is when it's kind of repeated, and it's not like, you know, foreign religions, but it's these people that would fall into sin. They would first fall into sin, and then the enemy would come and put them into slavery or servitude. They would cry out to God and say, oh, God, deliver us. And God would send here it's interpreted judge. I like the word deliverer.
Right.
And so this would happen, Jim, seven different times in the book of Judges where they'd fall into sin. The enemy would come and subjugate them. They would cry out to God, and God would send a deliverer.
Right. And that's a lot of what this is on. And when we think of that and we think of the redemptive line, you know, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that very clearly in the type of Christ that may be found in the various judges of Israel and some of the personality traits, if you will, of what Christ may have been like. And some of them, when you see those comparisons, but also the main thing that caught me, Bert, and you and I talked about this earlier, is the actual role of the deliverer.
Right.
You know, the judges came, but theirs, and this takes us full circle back to our study of Hebrews, you know, when we talk about the high priest. But there, and just like our a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the high priest and what he did. So when you look at the judge, it goes back. It was a temporary fix.
It was.
But when God sent his son in the person of Jesus Christ, he became our deliverer once and for all.
Once and for all. I love that passage in Hebrews. He said he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen.
Someone said that was a work completed and then a work commenced because it starts making intercession for us. And we're winners
either way. Yeah.
One more thing about the book of Judges and its deliverance. It's the word, the Hebrew word can be translated judges or deliverer. Mm-hmm. Now, honestly, when you think about the name, it sounds better, easier to say judges than it does deliverers. But when you see what they did and what came upon them, I think the deliverer is more accurate in telling us their ministry and what they did, because they was a period of judging, kind of telling them where to go and lead, but they were more of deliverers. Now, I want to talk a little bit about that because it has to do with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's two parts of deliverance, Jim. One is deliverance from, but it's not completed until it's delivered to someone, okay, or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they did, they delivered them from the hand of the enemy that had come upon the Philistines or whoever it might be, you know, and they would bring them back to freedom is what they were. In other words, from servitude to freedom. In Jesus' ministry, he delivers us from the grasp of sin and the ultimate result of sin, which is death and hell.
Right.
He delivers us from that, and I praise God for that, but he also delivers us too. And that we call it eternal life. But eternal life is not just a measurement of time, it's also a quality. As someone said, it's quantity and quality.
Right.
It's a quality of life. Now, what happened in the period of the judges? They didn't stay free. They weren't delivered out of it. Okay, we're free, and they stayed free. The cycle would continue and continue.
Right.
That reminds me a little bit of our Christian walk sometimes, how that we take three steps forward, and I'm telling you, two steps backward. Does that sound familiar to some of your Christian experiences in your own life?
Well, it does.
It does me. I just put myself on the line and say that.
Definitely does for me. And the thing that we have to I think one of the things there that gives me ongoing hope is the fact that even we can't ever have counted as fully accomplished until we have been delivered to the presence of God, until Jesus comes again and receives him unto ourselves. Because even Paul, who stood face to face with Christ, talked about that in Romans, the things that I would not do, that I do. You know, and
wretched man that I am.
Yeah. And
he didn't call himself a saint at that time.
No.
He didn't say, oh, saint that I am.
Right.
He said, oh, wretched man.
Wretched. And, you know, we know that for the wages of sin are is death. And so we are sinners. And I'm a sinner. Now, you and I have talked about before from 1 John, where I think it's possible that we don't sin, but I don't find it probable that we don't sin. In fact, I find it probable that 8 times out of 10, and I know that's a bad percentage, I'm probably going to fall, especially in some things that can. And it's not just sins of the flesh, understand me. Sometimes it's simply, you know, an anger issue, where somebody has said something or done something that I find offensive, and I have not learned to completely tame the tongue yet. And so, you know, that's what I'm saying. So for me, it's not a matter of immoral issues per se, because I could fall like any other man could fall. But so far, I've stayed off the roof looking at another man's wife. And when I do see another man's wife, I have a tendency to look away. When Colette and I go, my wife and I go through the local mall, and you know this as well as I do, there is a horrendous amount of temptation there. But you look away from it. You don't dwell on
it. Walk away, look away.
You got it. You don't dwell on it. And so that for me is one of the reasons I think that I have not failed my wife in marriage through adultery or through through some of those type sins. And so I don't set myself up there for Satan to hear today, oh, you think not? Well, watch here, big boy. So that's not what I mean. But when we talk about deliverance, when we talk about being moved through it, and you said we are to ultimately be moved to something, to be freed from something and be delivered to something, I really honestly think that it's going to be a struggle until we are there.
I agree. I think so. And you're talking about sins, and again, this preacher in me wants to alliterate and all the words, but this is true. There's sins of omission and sins of commission. Most of the time, we judge ourselves as doing good on the commission. Well, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. But and what did you leave undone, brother?
That's
And the other thing is actions and attitude. You know, my actions may look good to my brothers, you know, that are I'm accountable to. But what about that attitude that stinks? God says God looks on the heart.
Right.
And, you know, God says you've committed adultery in your heart. You don't hide it from God.
Right.
And so if you start feeling pretty good about yourself about I haven't done these sins of commission, be careful.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just go back and understand oh wretched man that I am.
That's right.
Because Paul put them on equal basis. He says, those things I don't want to do, I find myself doing.
That's exactly right.
And those things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. You know, that is the struggle. And in deliverance, in the judges, they did not understand their sin until they suffered some of the consequences.
Right.
I've heard this, and see if you've heard it, said, oh, they would not have gotten right, or they wouldn't have repented had they not gotten caught. Duh. That's what they did. They would sin, forget God, the enemy would come in and put them under servitude, and then they'd say, oh, look what this has got, and there'd be a commission, supplication unto God, admission of sin. But, brother, listen, most of the time, pain is a very important part of the Christian walk. If it were not pain, I heard this story, and I got to do it real quickly. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias, little on YouTube, and it's talking about this person knew his daughter, their daughter did not know pain. And it was horrible because she could step on a nail and never know it. An infection could grow and them never know it. She could burn her hand and her not know it. Pain is a very important part in our life.
Absolutely.
And we say we don't want it, but pain's very important. And in the book of Judges, pain brought them back to God.
It did. And I think that we as quote-unquote New Testament Christians sometimes forget about the pain that's associated with sin. And one of the reasons we forget about that is we look at the pain Christ endured on the cross so that we wouldn't have to. However, what about the pain to the people around us? You know, and I think this is one of the things you were alluding to. You know, I may not have committed that sin, or I may not have committed a particular sin, but, you know, there were times that my kids bore the brunt of that. And so I think you've said this before, I'm not who I used to be, but I thank God for who He's making me.
Amen.
So,
sounds good.
He's
working on me. I know that.
Amen. Exploring the Word continues right after this on American Family Radio.
The Rapid Response Arm of 8 Days of Hope is responding to tornado victims in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. On January 21st, a tornado severely damaged hundreds of homes and killed 4 people. Will you please volunteer to help Hattiesburg residents? Here's 8 Days of Hope director, Steve Tiber.
We need your help today. I mean, it's that simple. We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know, the best sermon I ever heard was the one I saw. We're just there to love others as God commands us. And here's where you and I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
To volunteer to help with Hattiesburg Tornado Relief, please visit 8daysofhope.com.
financial donations are also needed to support this ministry effort. To give, please visit 8daysofhope.com and pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this devastating tornado. 8 Days of Hope is a nonprofit Christian ministry.
Dr. Tony Evans says God has a unique calling for each one of us, but he points out that even though that destiny is designed for us, it's not just about us. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Rarely does God take you from where you are to where he wants you to be in a straight line. You never just go from A to Z through B and C and D and E and F. You go from A to R to C to U to S to Q to V. God bounces you around. Why on your route to your divinely designed purpose for being, your destiny, does God bounce you around all over the place? Sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes ugly. Number one is to develop your character. He wants to make you a better person, and he never does that without test. Tests are adverse circumstances that God causes or allows in order to develop us spiritually. There is a second reason for the detours, that God allows detours on his road to destiny in order to prepare those who he wants you to impact. When you arrive at your destiny, your destiny isn't only about you. So if it's all about you and nobody but you, you have not yet arrived at your destiny. Or even if you've arrived at it, you won't know it.
Dr. Evans has an extensive collection of messages online, something to speak to any need. Browse our library today by visiting tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for Dr. Alex McFarland today. He is traveling today. In fact, he has been in Texas the last couple of days doing some ministry there. And now today he is headed to Phoenix, Arizona.
That's right.
And he's available to come to your town simply by visiting alexmcfarland.com. That's alexmcfarland.com.
He said he had a few dates left in 2017. And let me just, I want to put a word in for him. Listen, he's great on the radio. I agree with that, Jim. But when he gets in front of live audience, it's a step up, you know?
And, absolutely.
Last year we had the privilege of being at the Cove together, and Alex was able to preach there when we was there for Heart Cry. This year it's going to be called Fusion, and we will be there. But he spoke, and people went away, man, that was great. And I said, yeah, it is. And so you will not go wrong. Alex is a blessing, and he's the real deal. So anyway, I agree with you. Give him a call. Go online. Ask him to come. He has some dates available.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, we're in the book of Judges, and two or three things we're going to do. We're going to take phone calls early, and we're going to answer one or two calls from word@afr.net. We're having a lot more activity kind of in that area because we're trying to push that because it helps us some of the hard questions. It gives me time to look at it.
That's right.
Especially when Alex is not here, it gives me more time
That's
to
right.
look at it. And
folks, don't be offended when we ask you to send your question to word@afr.net, especially when we're up against the end of the show. And some of these are detailed questions, and they're not easily answered, and especially not easily answered in 2 minutes. So sometimes when if you have a long question or a more detailed-oriented question, send that to us at word@afr.net. One of us will reply. And once I look at it and see it's not for me, well, I let Burton and Alex handle that. They tote the heavy load.
Well, I love to answer it on the radio. And so I will text you back and say, listen on this date. Matter of fact, if there'll be someone listening for the one we do today.
Right.
I told them, listen for today. Well, let me give two or three other things on the book of Judges.
Okay.
And I want to get your thoughts on those. There's two verses that are just so significant that they have to deal with deliverance and memory. One of them is from Judges chapter 2, and it is verse 10. Joshua has died. Those who followed him has died. Now, guess what happens? Listen to verse 10 of chapter 2. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers. Isn't that a neat way to say they died? When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel.
Mm.
I do this, Jan and I do this quite a bit in the meetings that we do, and I call it generational slide.
Right.
There's a tendency to slide, you know, one generation. This is an example. Joshua loved God with all of his heart. The next generation loved God with, you know, most of it.
Right.
Then the next generation comes along, they forget God. You have to struggle against the tendency to drift downstream in a family. Okay? You just got to do it. You want to pass it on. You pass the baton. There's no guarantee. You know, everybody's got to come to Christ on their own. God has no grandchildren. But here's the generational slide. Praise God, when we're talking about the thread of redemption, Jesus Christ is the same today,
right,
as he was yesterday, as
and
he will
be
tomorrow,
forever. Yeah.
Forever. And so we are inconsistent. But the deliverer that delivers us from sin and has a home for us in heaven, praise God, there's no slide in him, Jim.
Amen.
I praise God for that. He is that kind of deliverer.
And, you know, Bert, if you want to fast forward to 2017 and where we are now as a nation and where we are now as a body of believers, be it Protestant, Catholic, Episcopalian, Charismatic, whatever, when we look at that, and we see where our churches are today and the things that they're allowing and calling, yeah, that's okay. You know, we have to revisit Scripture and see what it says in light of today. And I think that if we go out, especially some that are in the older churches, and they look at the cornerstone of that building, and, you know, most of the time there's a presentation stone that says when the church was founded.
Right.
And if they could find someone from the time that church was founded and ask them, what was sin in your day? You know, why did you guys start this church? You know, what was it for? And then to compare that to what that church is being used for today, I think it would be incredibly eye-opening. And
mm-hmm.
and it's one of those things that we still need a deliverer. In fact, when we think about the Lord's Prayer, and he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Hmm.
Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's Matthew 6:13. But there again, it goes back to what you're saying, how quickly the people of Israel forgot who God was, and worse, forgot what he had done. How much more today in 2017 have we forgotten what Jesus walked through, what he did, and what he has promised he will do.
Amen, Jim. I, Alex and I love songs. I love them. Praise God. I can't sing them, but I can enjoy them.
Right.
Dottie Rambo wrote this one years ago, and I refer to it quite often, so we may need to get it and play it on this program every once in a while. Roll back the curtain of memory now mm-hmm. and then, and show me where you brought me from.
Amen.
And where I could have been. I do that, and I know within my heart I'd have been the most self-righteous, bigoted bum the world. I mean, you know, I'm as good as anybody
mm-hmm.
at AFR. I'm as good as anybody down at that local church. I'd have been as self-righteous a person as, you know. And it took me a while to learn there's nothing good really in
right.
me apart from what God has done and will do in my life.
Amen.
And we need to know that. Yeah, I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I'm a saint that's been positioned in Christ.
Amen.
I'm both and. One more verse, if
okay.
you don't mind.
Not
then
at all.
We're going to go answer a question or two. It's the last verse. in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, there was no king, but when the rulers would subside, or the deliverers or the judges would subside, people would wander. There's another song, Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It,
right.
Prone to Leave the One I Love. We're wandering people. And when there was no king, now the whole idea during the period of the judges was that God would be king. And since you got to connect that, this last verse, Jim, to chapter 2, verse 10, when it says they forgot God.
Right.
You catch it? When you connect those two, they were wandering without direction and without purpose. And if you're out there today and you have no direction, you have no purpose, I just want to tell you, you'll find it in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He will deliver you from sin. You choose to follow him. Choose to follow Christ as Lord and Savior. And again, there's this number. I try to give it every once in a while. You know, it's need him.
1-800-188-NEED-HIM.
And there's some people there that I talk to you. We're in connection with them, and if you need help, be sure and go there.
I've got the money verse for you.
Go ahead.
As we were talking about how this could would compare to some of the things in the New Testament, and I say this sincerely, folks, when you look at Colossians, beginning in chapter 1 at verse 9, and you read through verse 14, here's what you find. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And here it is, verse 13. He, being Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed unto us the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Man.
Delivered from.
Yes.
Presented to.
Amen. And if you've just turned over a new leaf and you're trying to be different, I just want to tell you, I always heard, if you turn over the leaf, the problem is same things on the other side.
That's right.
It's more than turning over that leaf. It's coming to Christ.
Right.
Having your sins washed as white as snow. I know I can preach on that,
that's
Jim,
right.
But it is real. He changed my life as a 12-year-old boy, and fear dominated. He can change an adult's life. He can change a child's life. Jesus comes in. He's the world changer. He's the life changer. And he'll change your life. Well, I've got a question. Go and give that number
real
quick.
888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And to start, we're going to take a question from one of the folks that emailed us to word@afr.net.
Exactly. And it's a simple question. And I don't know how easy it is to answer, but it's this. I had a question about healing. H-E-A-L-I-N-G. Make sure that with my accent, you get it correctly. Healing.
So you weren't roping a horse or cow.
That's right.
Okay.
When you pray a prayer of faith and you're healed from a disease, does the word, that's the Bible, does the Bible say anything about the disease returning in the future if you no longer believe? Well, I think that has nothing to do with that healing.
That's right.
Jesus, he would heal and they would go away. The lepers were cleansed, okay? But the whole idea is you're going to die one day.
Right.
It is appointed unto man to
die.
Now, whether you would die from that disease that could come back upon you later, the Bible doesn't say. I do know of an individual in a church where I pastored. She had a fatal disease. People had died from that disease, and she was going to die. She did go through the medical procedure, but we prayed, anointed her with oil, gathered around, and asked God to save her after we had confessed her sins one to another.
Right.
She was healed.
Amen.
She was healed. Now, again, there's no doubt in my life, in my mind, God did it. But she would die. And
right.
Not too long ago, she went to be with the Lord, and she had some of those symptoms. It wasn't exactly the same. Don't know exactly. But I don't think it once God heals you from that disease, you're healed from that disease. Now,
right.
Whether it comes back 20 years later and you die from that disease has nothing to do with the healing that you got back then.
And it has nothing to do with the power of the Lord being shortened.
Exactly.
You know, it's one of those things that there are mysteries that we don't understand. And Bert, you and I have talked about this before, and I firmly believe it in my heart that Marvin Sanders would have gone home to be with the Lord sooner and probably not endured some of the pain that he did towards the end of his life if we had not interceded in an intensive care room there.
God came down and showed up.
I mean, they had wheeled him into the intensive care room and had started calling the family together. And there were about 10 or 12 of us, and we were all allowed to go into that intensive care room, and we prayed for Marvin. And we left because they were getting ready to do some stuff, and they said, okay, you guys need to leave. We were grateful to have been there, and we told Donna we'd keep praying. We get back to the office, and within a half hour later, Donna said, they're moving him to a regular room.
Now, those of you who don't know who Marvin Sanders is, you knew he was the station manager. He mm-hmm. started when AFR, when Don began and said, we're going to have a radio station. Marvin was the guy. He came, and he was co-host of this program for years, first with Ray Pritchard
right.
and then with Alex McFarland.
With Alex.
And so when I came on board here at AFR, I didn't come to do this radio program. I was doing something else, the family and the ministry. But he'd stick his head in when he couldn't be on and say, Pastor, would you take
That's
that?
Right.
And when he called me Pastor, I knew he was wanting me to do something.
That's
All
right.
the other time it was Bert. And so Marvin was that guy. And so those of you that didn't know that, just a man of God, and God healed him. But later he would be taken.
He went home to be with
it's
the Lord.
It's a delayed death.
Yeah.
It's not ultimate healing. The only ultimate healing that we have is at the point of death and mm-hmm. go to heaven where there's no more death.
Amen. And you mentioned, and then we want to get to the callers at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. One of the things that you mentioned was the fact about the leper. All right. Remember, there were 10 lepers healed. Mm-hmm. One came back to give thanks to the Lord and thank him for what he did. Didn't say the other name were condemned. No, other nine were condemned again. Mm-hmm. Jesus just simply asked,
Where are the others?
Hey, they were clean. They were going home to tell their families about it, I'm sure, and show themselves. But the one came back and found that his urgency was to be in the presence of God.
That does show the importance of gratitude, though, doesn't
Amen.
It?
Amen.
It does.
Sure does.
You want to try to make one of these calls before
yep,
we go to break?
I do indeed.
Let's go.
You ready? Here
yeah.
we go. Dan calling from Georgia. Dan, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call today.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make a comment. I appreciate you all the teaching you guys do on the air. It's a good help to us. But I believe it was either yesterday or the day before y'all played a little clip from SM Lockridge. As we were driving home the other day, had a long, hard day, and when I got to hearing that, I got so excited thinking about that being a king. And I just want to tell you, I appreciated y'all playing that, because what a stirring of the soul it done for me, and I just want to tell you I appreciate that.
Well,
Dan, thank you. Listen, do we still have that, Brent? We may play that in. So hold on, Dan. Get ready. Back where I came from, it says hold your reins. It's kind of
right.
like people that would they plowed with a mule, you know, and the reins or what, and they'd say hold my reins. I've got to shout. So we're going to play that when we come back, and we're going to do that again. And so we appreciate that so much. And it was S.M. Lockridge, just a great, great man of God. And it's recorded several times. And those of you that can get on the internet, it's wide open on YouTube. You can get several things like that, Jim. And
right.
it is worth it.
Sounds good. Thank you, Brother Bert. All right, Dan, thanks for the call. Have a great afternoon. And thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Folks, stick around. Stan, you're up next as Exploring the Word continues right here on AFR.
What would it look like for peace to prevail in your life? Jesus, the Son of God, reminds us in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Three things stand out in this passage: peace, trouble, fear. I once read, "Worry does not take away tomorrow's trouble. It takes away today's peace." We need to understand that peace doesn't mean that negative circumstances or troubling situations won't befall us. To the contrary, these trials often serve as the gateway for God's divine spirit to intervene. In genuine seasons of revival, the followers of God realize that fear is the absence of faith, but peace is the presence of the Lord. Let's make it our prayer that peace would prevail in our lives as we put our problems into God's hands. I'm Ryan Loving, revivalist with Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
Is your success in life being stolen? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Unbelief is involved in every single sin. Why did Eve eat the forbidden fruit? Because she believed the devil's lie rather than God's truth. Hey, if you don't believe God, you'll never be a success.
Learn what real success can be like. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
Would you make one of the most important phone calls that you can make as far as your economic, your financial stewardship? I believe that permanent income is incredibly important to us, especially when you're retired. Listen, one thing we know for certain, the consumption of goods and your cost are never going to change. Make sure that you protect your income. Social Security, you will likely have maybe a pension. Add to permanent income with a charitable gift annuity and do the Lord's work. There's no better organization to do it with than the AFA Foundation, and no better time in our economy than right now.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk, studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me. I've opened up your word to free me. I want to hear you now.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Jim Stanley on the air with you alongside Brother Bert Harper. It's my privilege to sit in for Dr. Alex McFarland today. Brother Bert, before we went to break, we had a caller
Dan
talking about
Georgia.
A clip.
Yep.
And so you wanted to tell us about
I
that.
I do. S.M. Lockridge, one of the greatest preachers I ever had the privilege of hearing. And I never remember hearing him when my heart was not stirred for righteousness. And he did what is called That's My King. And he would do it several times. And you can, again, you can find it on the internet. But we played this yesterday, and it was well worth it. And Dan called and saying how good it was. Let me just give you, we should have given a warning. If you're kind of a Baptist-costal like I am, or Pentecost a little bit, you might want to turn to the side of the road and get in a parking lot so you're not driving down the road and your hands going up and praising the Lord. I have to admit, I've done that on time, and this is a possibility. So, Brent, play. This is our king. This is my king.
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Do you know him? No means of measure can define his limitless love. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful. And he's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the thief. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yeah, he always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor. And he'll have no successor. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my...
Amen. Listen, Dan, I'm glad you called that in. And Jim, with what we were talking about, the book of Judges, and what S.M. Lockridge said, he was the doorway of deliverance. It's through Christ.
Amen.
And so, Dan, thank you for that, and I appreciate it. Hope you, all of you enjoyed it. I just praise God for that. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Stan.
Stan, welcome to – oh, I'm sorry.
No, you go. Go.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. I had been quiet for a little while, and I can't hold it in long.
Go ahead, Stan.
That's all right. Thank you for having me on. And, Bert, I want to say thank you for you and Dan coming down to Laurel, Mississippi here a while back. It was great seeing y'all.
Oh, man. Listen, I got to work with Dan Celia, and we did that. And I'm telling you what, he did the finances, and I did family. And he knew more a lot about finances than I did, but he knew a lot about family too. But it was a joy, Stan. Thank you, brother.
No problem. I need a little help in some discernment here. I'm not really sure where to turn. I have a door that could possibly be open to me, and going from what I'm doing now to something completely different. I'm enjoying what I'm doing now, but what the door that's opening would be helping others a lot more than what I'm doing now, if that makes any sense.
Okay, I got you. Well, let me just share this with you. I'm going to say this, and Jim, you do this. At Kadesh Barnea, the door was open only for that time, and the children of Israel choose to go through it. And then they had to pay the price. So you want to seek the Lord. I want to give you two things. I had a guy that was retired from the Navy, and this is before all the electronics. And he said, when we were coming into to port and we were coming in to the harbor, they would have three buoys lined up, you know, apart. And when you were coming in and you would line them up where you could only see the first one and you couldn't see the last two, you knew that you were coming in straight and you were true to where you needed to be. In my life, I found this out, and I try to line these three things up, okay? One is circumstance. One is my understanding of Scripture as best I can. And the other one is confirming it with others. If I can line those three things up in my life, then I feel like, okay, this is probably a go. You know, I can go on in. That's my thoughts. And I'll say something else, Jim. I know you'd probably want to speak to Stan on going through this open door, possibly.
Well, and see, Bert, I agree with everything you said there. I think that for me, I've always been one to make sure who's holding the door open. Because sometimes we have something that looks so much like the real thing, but it takes us down a completely different path. And I think that if we are where we need to be positionally in the Lord, and you mentioned, you know, talking to a couple of folks and getting confirmation on it, I don't think we go and ask 100 people, but I think we take two or three of our closest friends, your pastor, you know, if you have the relationship with him that you could go and talk to him and ask them to pray with you about it, and then simply ask the Lord to confirm it. If it's of God, he doesn't mind. I mean, look at how he called Samuel, you know, and Samuel didn't know what to do. And so he looked to Eli. Eli?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It. Samuel looked Eli.
Thank you. I want to make sure. That's been him. A long day. And so and that's when he was told how to respond. And so I think for me, the biggest thing is to make sure of who's holding the door open. And if you follow what Bert said, I think you'll get there without any problem.
I want to give you a little personal testimony of me being here at AFR. I was on the board of AFA for 20 years and pastored a church for 28 years. And God put a good bit of dissatisfaction in what I was doing, Jim. Could have stayed. But when this door opened, the opportunity came. It wasn't just open. Yes, I was willing and ready, and God opened the door, and it was confirmed. I do believe in confirmation, whether you call it, you know, Gideon, you know, putting out those things to see if the fleece, to see if it's true or not. Some people say, oh, that's a lack of faith. Well, I don't necessarily believe that. I think God will confirm it, Stan, and that's what you're looking. You're looking for confirmation that this is of God. And again, circumstances, prayer, the Word of God, advice from, as Jim said, two or three others would be wise. Brother, we're going to pray for you right now. Then we're going to go to the next caller. Father, I pray that you'd guide Stan. And right now, there's people all over the United States that's praying for Stan that he would know what you're saying to him and what you'd have him to do. I pray it would be clear, but let him know there's going to be nothing that he does not require stepping out in faith.
That's right.
That means a little bit of the unknown. Mm-hmm. And I pray that you would help him there and confirm that. I don't know about his family. I pray that you'd work in their lives to affirm that as well. And we just pray your will would be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Stan, God bless you. And we'll be praying for you the next few days that God will open the door and make sure that you understand he's the one holding it. Going to talk to Don, by the way. If you'd like to get your call in, I think we'll have time for one more after we talk to Don, maybe even two more at 888-589-8840. Don, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. It's good to be with you all. I enjoy your program. I just wanted to make a comment regarding the question earlier regarding someone being healed and then later maybe dying of that same problem. And I just want to remind y'all of Hezekiah. You remember Hezekiah had this issue that Yep. He was going to die, and he sought the Lord, and God gave him 15 more years.
Right.
And then he died.
Yep. Don, thank you, man. Hey, you know, a lot of times scriptures, that's what's neat about having a Bible study like we have with a phone of being available. Those things that does not come to my mind. Quiz, you said that. I remembered it. Thought, yes. So, listen, the healing is there. And I want to say one more thing about healing and deliverance. I believe in both of them. It's not necessarily the faith of the individual, because sometimes the people that were raised, they had no faith, and sometimes it was because of others' faith, you know, the four guys that let the guy down through the roof. But God does deliver still today, and he still does heal today. That doesn't mean you don't need to take the medicine, go to the doctor. It doesn't mean that you need to go to some meetings where your accountability is. But God is still in that business. Don, Amen. Thank you for that. Listen, since we have time, I got one of these, another one about Word, AFR.net, Jim.
Yes, sir.
And it was concerning the Bible, and I would say the translations of it. You know, we have a lot of translations. I admit it's kind of, you know, it can be confusing. Praise God, we got more than one. King James was in 1611. It was great, and it's still great today with the modifications that's been made because of language. But it's a great thing. And so someone was calling about, you know, the Word of God. Does it contain, or is it the Word of God? It is the Word of God. And I praise God that it's the Word of God. And they were talking about, you know, the red letter editions of it, you know. Even with the red letter editions, and what I mean, if you turn to the New Testament Gospels and you have a what they call a red lettered edition, that means the words that Jesus spoke, they were still recorded by man.
Right.
Okay? And so all Scripture is of equal value and equal source, you know, that we can be confident in. Are some Scriptures more to help us than others? Yes, it is. Yes, there are Scriptures that help me and help life more mm-hmm. than others. But it's still all the Word of God.
Well, and when you think about that too, Bert, you think of the fact that, you know, we're going to get a lot more out of Galatians than the genealogies recorded in Matthew. However, there are some folks who enjoy the history there,
yeah.
and they like checking out that lineage. You know, they're the folks that have their family tree back for 200 years. And I applaud those people. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean to belittle you in any way. Lineages, you know, that doesn't do it for me. But you want to get into Galatians where there are some life applications? You bet. And then even when we look in the Gospels as they are, when I see, you know, when I see the Lord's Prayer, what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, that was really the disciples' prayer, if you will, teaching them how to pray and teaching us how to pray. That's great. I have a great outline there. But let me tell you, you really want to get me going? Let's flip the pages over a little more into John and see where Christ prayed for us and those to whom would be given yeah. later.
So it has a little bit to do with where you are in your life.
Right.
I've been where Proverbs was the greatest book I could read because I'm desperate for some wisdom.
Right.
Psalms has been a valuable part of my life at some times because I was desperate for some strength and praise. That I was down. I do get down, believe it or not.
Right.
And I needed help in Psalms. So a lot of it has to do sometimes of where you are in your life.
It is. But I like what you said. I mean, the Bible is written under the inspiration of God, and that includes from Genesis to the end in Revelation.
That's it.
Folks, speaking of the end, we're at the end of this program. Alex should be back tomorrow. Stay tuned. Tony Perkins and Washington Watch comes your way next on American Family Radio. Have a great afternoon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.